So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Keith Lewis, who is Managing Director of Match Tech here in the UK. Hi, Keith.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So Keith, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and the work that you do?
Yes, I hear that from a personal and a business perspective. Personally, I've been in the recruitment industry since the late 80s, and after some UK and US experience, I joined Match Tech in the early 90s as a consultant. The business has subsequently grown and diversified over that period to the point where the group now employs excess of 375 people. Mm-hmm. And as a business, we deliver bespoke recruitment solutions within engineering, which is my responsibility,
right,
and professional services. So the engineering part of our business covers marine, aerospace, automotive, energy, infrastructure and science, and the professional services side of the business covers technology, professional staffing, such as procurement, supply chain, sales, marketing, HR and finance, for example, and
yep,
we also cover employability and skills.
Okay.
In terms of what we actually do, we place people in temporary, fixed term and permanent roles across all of the areas that I've just mentioned,
mm-hmm,
and it's a huge array of organisations, from whether that be a single one-off placement or whether it's us running their entire recruitment program, which could involve several hundred hires per annum.
Okay.
And as a business, the majority of our work is in the UK. However, our global footprint is getting bigger. And that's predominantly the result of us having followed sort of key customers overseas with their businesses and establishing in-country solutions for them. And last 12 months, we've placed people in 30 countries.
Right.
Within the engineering brand, we also have an office in Germany.
Uh-huh.
The UK group offices are in Nifaerum, London, Albans and Aberdeen. And in terms of the engineering side of our business, for the last 2 years, Recruitment International has listed us as the number one engineering recruitment organisation in the UK.
Fantastic.
So that's we're pleased with that.
Very good.
And in terms of how our staff in terms of the 375 that I mentioned, 20% of those are within our own shared services functions. So internal, HR, legal, marketing, finance, IT, bids, along with a managed services team as well, who are responsible for account and product management of our major programs. The other 80% of our staff are our consultants and in the appropriate management structures around running such major teams and recruitment departments within the business.
Okay.
Other points about us are that we are AIM listed.
Yes.
We became AIM listed in 2006. And our business is structured in such a way that we've got very specialist consultants who generally work very niche skills. So we don't have jacks of all trades, as it were. Our consultants are very specialist. They know their area, their clients, their candidate base, and hence their, in my opinion, and the results tend to show it, extremely proficient.
So does that mean that, for example, if you were working with an oil and gas client, you would have a geophysicist that was helping source geophysicists for oil and gas companies, for example?
Now, it's more a case of we either have recruiters who are operating in placing people in permanent roles or contract roles, we don't mix to. And geographically, we'll have recruiters that cover the Aberdeen marketplace and others that cover the southern UK.
Okay.
And then what will happen is that they will have generally either specific clients or specific skill sets that they would focus on. So I wouldn't have a geophysicist speaking to a geophysicist, but what I would have is a specialist or a recruiter who only works in certain fields. In most of the instances, it will be, for example, someone who is placing design disciplines for a certain number of clients within a geographical remit. So they understand the structural, mechanical, electrical, piping, design, engineering, marketplace, as it were, inside out, and have a focus on those skill sets with specific customers.
Okay. Now, also last year, you appeared in the Sunday Times' 100 Best Companies to Work For list, and just wanted, first of all, just to congratulate you on that. So that's well done.
Okay.
Can you tell me what motivated you to enter the awards, or is it something that you've done? Do you enter awards on a regular basis?
No, that was the first time we'd actually entered those awards, and historically, I'd have to hold my hand up and say we've been pretty poor at entering awards. It's something what we haven't really done very well is make the outside world aware of who we are, what we do, and how successful we have been at doing it.
Right.
The awards were generally a little bit alien to us, and in terms of, you know, having that success story and being a major employer in Hampshire and having good staff retention and a high level of employee engagement, we felt that it was time to investigate that Sunday Times list and award. And the outcome of that was that we came 25th,
uh-huh.
which for our first attempt as well, it was in our view an outstanding achievement. But it gave us a great amount of publicity and recognition for something that we knew we were doing well, but we hadn't actually shared it.
Yes.
And in terms of being a growing and expanding business, it was, you know, it is important for us to continue to attract, hire and develop the best talent for our own business, and being recognised as one of the best companies to work for clearly helps us to achieve that. So that was the reasoning behind it.
Fantastic. And you mentioned employee engagement there. I mean, what sort of things do you do within Matchtech to sort of promote and develop your culture and also that level of employee engagement you talk about?
Yeah, well, as we've grown, obviously that's become more and more challenging, especially as we've got different occupations. You know, historically, we had traditionally been a single site business in the UK based out of, you know, Whiteley near Fareham. But as uh-huh. we've grown and we've got those other offices that I've mentioned, you know, we've managed to successfully retain and develop an array of sort of talented people across the areas of business to ensure that culture and the beliefs of an organisation maintained and developed at all different levels. And one of the ways we do that is to ensure that every 3 months at least, the CEO, myself, and a finance director, all of whom are on the board of the group, we present to all of the staff, including all of the off-site locations. So we ensure that they're brought up to speed with how the business is performing, what plans are in a short, medium and long term. And then we also, the three of us, also conduct sort of monthly lunches with the staff as well, where an open invite goes out to all employees, invite them to have a sort of Q&A session on any subject matter that they want with the three of us.
Yes.
And we try and make sure that we engage at all levels across the business, because, you know, we form working groups and working parties as well. So, for example, our management structure, our leadership level below that structure, and all the people involved in those gradings throughout the business, they will be in, you know, expected to work within groups to discuss, again, an array of topics, report back, implement their ideas in order to continue to drive the business forward. And one of the other challenges we have is the sort of cross-selling across the group businesses. As we've grown, when we were very small, it was very easy for us to shout across desks and communicate with each other and just make sure that the right things were happening in the accounts that we were servicing. But obviously, as we've grown and diversified, that's become more challenging. So we
sure.
form working groups again within the business to run wide accounts to make sure the service level, for example, and the consistency of that offering is maintained. And as a business, we have a huge social scene and an excellent training program within it. From the day people walk in, there's a huge amount of training that they receive, and we encourage people to get formal qualifications at the end of that and pay for their membership of the REC, for example.
Right.
And then in terms of where that leads us to, it's, you know, a lot of what I've just mentioned there does sort of have a direct impact on the productivity within the business.
Uh-huh.
We've got a great team ethic, a great environment, and it's a very competitive environment as well, recruitment. And so, you know, people are constantly trying to improve, which productivity as a result of that is high.
Yes.
And it's one of those industries, and we are a business who, you know, forgive the cliche, but work hard, play hard, you know, and people
right.
are rewarded well.
Yes.
And as such, there's a high level of engagement in and out of the office, which has great results, and people feel part of the business and want to see, you know, succeed, which is great.
Is that more than just social stuff? Is that things like sporting things and volunteer efforts and all those sort of things? Or
yes, so we do all of what you've just mentioned. We have volunteering days, for example, and we also have. That may also include things like helping long-term unemployed people back into work, into how to conduct yourself at an interview, to
write
a CV. So we have volunteering days around those activities as well. We actively encourage innovation, for example, internally, and reward it. You know, things like we've got our own, everything we've done historically is tended to be in-house. For example, our own IT system is designed, built, developed in-house, and it's via the engagement of all of our staff that has enabled us to develop an even faster and more efficient system because of the innovative ideas that they've got about how that can be improved.
Right.
And if you sort of mix that in with our, you know, investment and training across the staff, as well as a clear career path and a happy work environment, you do tend to see that as you'll get a clear visibility of why the retention within the business, in my belief, it is low, and
yes,
how all of those points also enable us to deliver a better service,
okay,
and have consultants who are highly trained specialists in those niche markets and in-depth knowledge. And you combine all those things together, those are probably some predominant reasons for our success.
Excellent. And it seems to me that where you're talking to me, and if I go back to sort of the employee engagement bit and things, it seems to me that the key things that you're doing are, I guess, two things. One is visibility. You keep showing up on a regular basis in different formats and different forums, but it's also about marrying that with communication, when it's not just broadcast and talking at people, but actually it's sitting down and sharing information, but also discussing issues with people and having that open forum, as it were.
Yes, it's very important, as I say, for a business of our size to do that. And obviously, you know, what you've just picked up on there in terms of there is a fair amount of noise about us out there in the marketplace as well. And I think a lot of that's come from, you know, everything I've mentioned and our professionalism being admired, which was illustrated at the end of last year at the Recruitment International Awards, because one of those awards is the Most Admired Recruitment Agency Award, which is voted for by our peer group. And we were fortunate, not by luck, obviously, but to have been voted by our peer group as the winner of that award.
That's tremendous. So, Keith, if you were one of my listeners or readers and you were listening to this, and I said to you, you know, you're in a situation where you're managing a team or managing, you know, a number of teams are in a growing business, what sort of top tips would you give to them, to a manager, executive, an entrepreneur that wants to try and bring the best out of their teams? What would you say they should focus on?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've touched on a couple of things. I think the engagement with all of the people across all levels of the business is absolutely vital. I think, and once you do that engagement as well, I think listening to them and responding is the next obvious step to me. And it doesn't mean that you have to give them everything that they're asking for.
Yes.
I think people need to remember sometimes that hearing them and listening to them are two very different things. So,
yes.
You know, bear that in mind, and as well as, you know, developing them and investing in them and rewarding them fairly. I think some people sometimes make the mistake of, you know, if you've got to continually look at ways to reward them, and if they ask for more, then you always have to give it to them. There's far more things than just that monetary reward. It's, you know, we've touched on things about engagement within the business, and there's other benefits. And it's the whole makeup of the package and everything around your business that is important to people, not just thinking that it's recruitment, it's got to be the biggest lump sum figure and everybody will be happy. And the other thing I'd say is that the people that you're employing, obviously, they're the ones who are representing your organisation every hour, every day.
Yes.
And if they don't understand what your company and organisation stands for and how you want it to be portrayed and where you're taking it and why, then you will face a challenge. And that's why investing that time and effort in those people is vital. You know, they are the people who are going to drive your business forward. And on the back of that, I'd also add in succession planning is
right.
Vital. Think, you know, make sure that with those people you're thinking long term, not just the short term. And you know, our business is in my belief, is where it's at as a result of the quality of the people that we obviously employ.
Yes.
And I'm not suggesting by that we've always got it right. We haven't. We're like any other business. But I think what I would say as any advice is that if it's not going quite right, act quickly and decisively. Don't keep on hanging in there. Just act.
Yeah.
And I would recommend that to people in terms of obviously building teams and potentially think, you know, not having the right people in the right places. And I'm fortunate within my business because, you know, I've got, you know, a lot of good people around me as well. And that's not luck, as it were. We've developed those people. They've been within the business a long time. They understand it. We've got that succession planning in place. They understand it, understand what we're trying to achieve. And that's absolutely vital. And I think that successful delegation within, when you've got that level of people, is key to running the business as well. And obviously, as I said a minute ago, you know, if they're not right and they haven't got the right people, then act quickly, because that will have a long-term damaging effect.
Yes. Can I come back to what you talked about right at the beginning of that piece, where you talked about you need to engage people. Now, what's interesting is that there's a lot of talk about employee engagement and employee engagement initiatives and things, and it's almost that I get a bit frightened by when people start talking like that in a way, because it almost feels like employee engagement is something you do to people, if you know what I mean. It's almost like you're putting them through something, as it were. But I think you're intimating that when you talk about engaging people or engaging with them, you have a different sense in your mind. Can you explain to me what you mean by engaging with people? Is that just more just going out and speaking to them and showing up?
I'm talking. Engaging to me is a lot about that communication.
Yeah.
In terms of every level throughout the business having an understanding of that they can speak. They can. You are encouraging them to come forward with their thoughts, feelings, ideas,
mm-hmm.
and that it's not a case of just, as I said, you know, in terms of hearing them, it's listening to them. And it's like I said, it's not a case of, oh, okay, you've asked for that, so we'll have to give it to you. As long as they've got an understanding of how you're running the business, where they fit into it, how they can progress throughout it, that their voice is heard, and that they have an impact on where the business is going, or their area of the business, I think that's absolutely vital. And if you don't, and I've not, you know, having been with this business for nearly 20 years, I have, again, found certain situations whereby that lack of engagement or communication across the business has hurt us.
Yes.
Because people do then become and feel disengaged, and that they are a number and, you know, a cog in the process somewhere and nothing else. And that's why engagement to me is absolutely vital, that they understand it and that you communicate, you're visible. You know, they are not perceived as somebody at a management level on a pedestal that, you know, is unapproachable and is running the business in a certain way that nobody has any idea of, because that
sure.
also creates a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, and it also creates a lot of distance between a lot of people, a lot of different people, different levels, the front line and the executive office, I guess.
Correct.
So what's MatchTech's plans for 2013 and beyond? World domination?
Well, there is, I wouldn't go so far as world domination, but we are still growing. And we're still investing in our people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I always wanted us to be the number one, not just not in engineering, but that would come as an end result of being number one in each of the industry sectors that we support.
Mm-hmm.
So that isn't the case for me in every sector that I support at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Although, as I said, we are classed as the number one engineering recruiter in the UK.
Yes.
Over the last 2 years. But that doesn't mean that I'm the top in every of the areas that I support. So I do feel that there is more market share.
Yes.
For us to capture. Overseas, you've mentioned, and overseas is something that, again, it's very much client-led because, as I said, those 30 countries that we have gone into are as a result of, you know, doing a good service for a UK-based customer and then following them internationally.
Yes.
Now, in terms of further offices, yes, I would investigate further overseas offices. But I haven't got any plans as of today to actually open one, but I have got certain hot spots geographically that I am currently looking at.
Good. Excellent.
I'll also continue to sort of pursue the route of further niche skill diversification across all of the areas that we currently support. And a key area for me is that MatchTech is seen and acts as an influencer as well. And what I mean by that is that engagement with universities, training providers, clients,
yep.
Candidates, skills academies, bodies like Engineering UK, for example, and other associations. So that, and the key for me is that I'm in a, within engineering, for example, I'm in an area whereby it is not currently, in my opinion, the career of choice or the industry of choice. And I
right.
think that there's something that I and we can do to change that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, me and my staff being vocal and engaging with that community that I've just mentioned will have a huge impact on that. And that's key for me for the longevity of our business, but also the longevity of, you know, the engineering industry throughout the UK.
Yes, indeed. That's great. Now, Keith, I always finish these interviews with one question. And that question is there anything that you'd like to shamelessly plug?
Okay. What I would say is that over the last 2 or 3 months, I've been actively engaged and have launched our first engineering showcase, which I'll explain. That's
okay.
to celebrate engineering professionals and organisations and the work that they do on a daily basis. Because my view is that the UK engineering industry is flourishing. There's a huge amount of current and future projects. And the aim is to give the engineers the opportunity to showcase their achievements. So it's an online gallery that celebrates the outstanding work of individual professionals across the industry.
Yes.
And it comes, in my view, it comes at a time when industry professionals need to be reminded of not, you know, how great their work is, for one, but also, you know, that we recently conducted a confidence index of over 1,000 engineers. And what that showed was that there was a huge number of that engineering community whose confidence was very, very low in terms of their belief of what was being done to maintain and drive the industry further forward with government backing and support, for example.
Right.
So I released some information around that. And then on the back of that, I've just launched this engineering showcase, which is now open, and engineers throughout the UK can enter themselves or a colleague through the MatchTech website. So it's www.matchtech.com. And then when you go to that website, you'll see the community button.
Yes.
And if people wish to have a look at that community button, that'll take them through and explain exactly what I've just talked about in terms of that engineering showcase and the results of the confidence index.
That's fantastic. I mean, I think there's also possibly related to that, and I'll send you something via email, but I've just launched a project called The Bridge, and it's more about trying to connect young people that are looking for work with companies, but in a way that just to try and find out more about what they do, to try and promote the industries, but also increase the knowledge and the initiative of young people. So I'll send you something about that, because there may be some interesting overlap.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, youth unemployment is 23% at the moment.
Yes.
And yet, you know, I appreciate it's very easy for me to sit here and say, look, youth unemployment is 23%. There's a direct correlation between the current and future programs within the engineering sector, so surely it would be very straightforward. I understand it's not as easy as that, but any engagement and involvement that companies like mine can have in terms of trying to explain and educate people as to what the engineering industry is all about, what it has to offer, and how it has a long-term future, you know, I'm very keen to engage in that. And we do a lot of work, for example, around the universities, and 12-month period, you know, we have about 400 visits of people and teams from our organisation who go out and sort of promote engineering as that industry of choice. And I'm keen to continue to do that and engage with that community.
I think it's also important to note as well, is when people think about engineering, it's not just the high level sort of higher degree sort of level of engineering that people are talking about. It's engineering as a whole as an industry that needs support and promotion as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm very pleased to see, for example, under apprenticeship schemes as well, there's more people in the UK currently doing apprenticeship schemes than there are who are at university.
Fantastic.
So that's a huge shift
Yes.
over the last few years, which is a great thing to see as well, because obviously it's, you know, some of these major projects that are either currently happening or on that horizon, there'll be a huge demand for those people as they come out of those schemes, which is great.
That's fantastic. Keith, thank you so much for your time today. I mean, that's
thank
been
you.
Really
You're
interesting.
Welcome.
And I'll send you, oh, I'll get all this edited up and send you and get it all linked up, so it's all we can do some promotion on your community and the showcase efforts, and I'll send you something else via email, and then we'll just try and make even more noise than you're making already.
Great, excellent. Thank you for that.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Cheers. Thanks, Keith.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.